One, two, and three. Are we live?
I think we might be live. I love that. I hate just sitting here and not talking. You know, kind of feel we need to have a buffer reel or something like that. I'm going to work on that for us. Hey, everyone. You know, I hope you've never lost a customer, but the chances of that are like slim to none. If you're like most businesses, you've lost customers. But doesn't it just burn your backside when it's because you or somebody in your organization just gave poor customer service? Man, I freaking hate that, you know, because that's what I want to strive for is excellent customer service. So it really burns me. It burns the Reboot crew, and it should burn your butt too. And, you know, here's why. It is so hard to get new customers today, and it's expensive to get new customers. So keeping your customers happy so they don't leave should just be as important as new sales in your business. No one wants to take a step forward in business, lose a customer, and take a step backwards in business. With all that said, you can prevent it. And that's the good news. This is in our power to prevent. All you got to do is shore up your customer service experiences. And that's what me and these guys are going to talk about today with you. But you've joined the Reboot crew. I'm Jim Gast, and the Reboot is here to help you make business decisions and evaluate business decisions in the area of business operations, technology, cybersecurity, human resources, productivity, and more. We're all technology company owners. We're our managed service providers in throughout the United States, and I'd like to let these guys introduce themselves.
I'm Dave Groot with Windstar Technologies in Culpeper, Virginia.
I'm David Luft with LDD Consulting in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And as I said, I'm Jim Gast, and I own SpliceNet in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, guys, I'm going to start off today by telling a little bit of a story about a Wendy's drive-thru. Okay, and so you know, I think if we can. Tell people about a good customer experience or what a bad customer experience, I think people can understand and relate to that. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to go ahead and start leading off by telling that story. Is that okay, guys?
Sure.
All right. So yes, I eat fast food occasionally. Okay. Not that often. I try to avoid it. And I'm always going for the healthier choice, like the salad or something like that. Yeah, right. And so go to this Wendy's drive-thru around my house. And the awesome thing is that it's close. So I'm going to go to it because it's close. The bad thing is I pull up to the drive-thru for the longest time. I was like, hi, welcome to Wendy's. Can I take your order? You know? And in the morning when I go there for like a breakfast sandwich, I'm up in the morning. I get going. I want to get upbeat. Well, you know, it just really wasn't a great experience. It was really boring going through there. And they get the order wrong all the time. Well, they hired this kid, and I'm telling you, this kid could have been more than 20, 22 years old. And you would pull up, and the first day I pulled up to the drive-thru that he was working, hey, my name is Ken. Welcome to my Wendy's. How can I make your day better? And I'm not kidding you. That's how enthusiastic that guy was. Now, maybe if you're in a bad mood or you're not a morning person, that would maybe strike you wrong. Or it might turn your day around and make you feel good. You know what, Ken? I even referred to him back by name, Ken, because I like good customer experience. Ken, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Let me get this, right? Man, I'll have that pull up to the window here and we'll get you taken care of right away. Think about the dialogue in a drive-thru of all places, right? I mean, isn't that awesome customer service? Even for Wendy's, you know?
It's pretty impressive, I guess. If you're going to Wendy's in the morning, you'd be better, you know, served that way than somebody with an attitude, right? Like, hey, what do you want?
Yeah. I think the lesson here is really, my lesson is be enthusiastic, okay? In dealing with your company, your team and your people that work for you. I don't care if it's somebody sweeping the floor. I don't care if it's somebody, you know, stocking shelves. Everybody should be enthusiastic to help the customer, not just going through the motions. So the enthusiasm to me is a great customer service tip.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, go ahead, Dave. You were going to say something. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I was just going to say the attitude is absolutely important. And I think, you know, in our business and in many of the businesses I've worked in from childhood on up, part of the focus is not it's everybody has a special role, right? And all those roles are important. They may not rise to an elevated status in somebody's eyes or something else, but that doesn't make them any less important. And just a little humanity goes a long way when it comes to customer service and understanding. Like in our business, right? Our folks, we interact with our customers in most cases, our staff, our team, when they're talking to our customers are experiencing an issue, right? The help desk is getting a call, there's a problem, they're calling, their tickets coming in. Those people aren't necessarily excited about that, right? Like they're not super motivated that, hey, my printer's not working. Isn't this great? It's they're calling and they're a little frustrated. They're under a timeline. They're stressed. They're, you know, so I mean, humanity, right? Remember their situation, understand why they're being the way they are.
Yeah.
Is because of something that's happening in their day, not you. Right. So go ahead, David. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take over there.
No, I agree with that completely, is that everybody can be having a bad day and it has nothing to do with you. And like Jim said, you just got to be enthusiastic and want to help them.
Right. When we hire folks, our employees, we make them read this book to start. Like this is their very first assignment, is to read this book called The Fred Factor. And it just talks about how to deliver excellent experiences in customer service, how to go that extra mile when you're talking to a customer, and how to identify a problem that they're experiencing that is real to them, that may be minimal to us, and that we can fix with no problem.
And that's a great book, actually.
It is.
I'm going to say I'm going to put it down here in the chat for everybody, so that it's there later on. Okay. Thank you for that. All right. So, do one of you guys want to share one of your recent customer experiences, positive or negative?
Go ahead, David.
Sure. So I actually had a sales guy call me. And he just talked for like 30 or 45 minutes straight, never asked me what I was looking for or if I understood. And I already understood everything he was trying to sell me because I've been looking, you know, for a while for that product. And it was just when I can set the phone down talking to a salesperson for 5 minutes, walk away, get a glass of water, come back, and he doesn't even realize it. That's a problem.
That's enthusiastic, though. I mean,
right, I do that to my wife. I'm just kidding. No, she won't say anything.
No, it's not enthusiastic. I mean, how many years do you have, Dave or Jim?
What do you mean, years in business or marriage?
No, how many ears?
Ears, just two.
And David, how many mouths do you have?
Just one.
And there's a reason we have two ears and one mouth.
I love that.
So we're listening twice as much as we talk. Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly.
Nobody ever taught me that.
That's a book, buddy.
I'm just baffled at the way, just in general, how people don't just ask the customer questions that will help them fill the answer out. I remember I worked at our local utility company here before I started this 20 some odd years ago. And somebody called us up and said, hey, my computer's really slow. So I go up there, I start talking to the person and listening. And it turns out that they had bought a new computer over the weekend. Well, their computer wasn't slow, any slower than it was on Friday. But because I was listening instead of talking to them about everything, I realized your new computer is faster than this one. So this one seems slow all of a sudden. And that's all it was.
Right. So he was comparing the two.
Exactly.
Crazy. Yeah.
And just all of a sudden it seemed slow to him. It was an older computer, but, but that too, the customers, I'm surprised, especially, you know, in the last couple of years, you could just go sit down and a customer will just talk to you for a ridiculous amount of time. I think people really appreciate being heard.
You know what? That goes right back to enthusiasm. Okay. It's a different characteristic altogether, but it's enthusiastic to want to serve them, and you want to serve them by listening to them. I totally agree with that. You know?
Yeah. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think our industry is actually one of them that makes it super easy for us to do those types of things for people. Because, I mean, it's been my experience in most cases, people just need a little bit of, coaching, a little bit of demonstration, a little bit of education, a little bit of teaching, a little bit of empowerment. And then they can take their technology and use it and make it a productive tool for their life instead of a thorn in their side. So we come out looking like winners, and it's super easy for us to do that, right? Like, to me, that makes our business run better, because if they know how to fix the little things, then they're not having as many problems, and, you know, everybody's experience is better, right? Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know.
You got sure. it.
And even as a salesperson, when you're talking to people, you know, make sure what they're interested in. They may not care to the depth you want to talk to something about, or they may already understand it and you're just wasting their time.
Yep. Yeah. It's funny. It took a while and several people to teach me and tell me that nobody else cares about the tech, right? Like, I love my toys, you know, the gadgets, the stuff, but none of our clients or customers, that means zero to them. They don't understand it. They don't care. And it's the same deal when I'm talking to an electrician or a mechanic, or I don't care about half the stuff that they think is necessary or good or bad. I just want to know, what is it I got to do to make my thing work and get in the car and go, you know, change my oil. That's it. I'm done. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's just, guys, talking to your accountant. When I go talk to my accountant, all I care about at the end of the day is that my taxes are done on time and completed. I don't need to know all the details, and I'm happy to pay you for that.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's how people are with us. And we get excited about the tech work. So
that's what I'm saying. They're not as excited about it. They just want the problem fixed.
I'll think about that when I find myself at a customer, just in a sales call, because it's so easy to talk when you're talking to somebody about your products, because you're excited. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, no, I'm not talking to my accountant. I don't want to sit here and listen to all this stuff. And how do I tone it down and make it simple so that they can appreciate it?
Let me ask you guys this. And this to me, and I know it's kind of a little off topic, but a lot of what we're talking about kind of goes to our mentality of how we deal with people and how people are dealing with us, right? Do you guys call do you call them customers or clients? Which do you gravitate to?
I have both. A client to me is a different relationship than a customer. Right? Customers are usually one-offs, somebody who just dropped in for a particular reason.
Okay.
But a client is somebody who we have a relationship with ongoing, who we are helping to build and develop their business, and who is taking our advice and trusting our relationship.
What about you, David Luft?
I never really thought about that as much, because I really want to be a partner with them, and I want them to, I really want to try and understand what their goals are. And I'm not always good at that now because we're so busy, but just to really try and make the stuff.
Well, there's your takeaway for the day. There's your takeaway for the day, right? You're so busy, but let me tell you what my mentality is on calling the people that pay us customers versus clients, right? I call them customers, and I struggled with this. And the reason I struggled with it was because it was a mentality to me, right? Clients to me sounds – sorry, David Groot, you know, and to me sounds less personal. It's more impersonal, right? Whereas a customer seems to be folksy, somebody that, you know, that comes in, like Norm from Cheers. Norm was a customer, not a client. I'm sure you could interchange, but to me, I tell our team, they're our customers, not our clients. So, you know. It's just mentality is all it is. However that mentality shakes out for your business, you should have a mentality if you ask me. You know, I love Mr. Groot. I love how you kind of differentiate the two. But you don't feel any different about either one of them, though.
I think the big thing is, no matter what you call it, I've had a couple customers tell me that I'm more of a friend to them than a vendor.
Yeah.
And if we can build that relationship, that's huge. And I get some of our customers that are not that tight with us for whatever reason, but,
right.
Yeah. All right. So, so do you have one, a bad experience, David Groot, that you wanted to share?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, you know, I've had some bad experiences in the hospitality world, hotels and that sort of thing. You know, checking in and out of a Hilton, I could not get a cart at 5 a.m. to pull my luggage out of our room because the people who checked in the night before were all coming out of a party and drunk, and the management allowed them to take the carts to their room. And so there were no carts. I was kind of like a little not understanding how that could happen in a hotel of that stature, you know, when you could easily just have a bellhop go get the cart, bring it back down. And I'm not, you know, so that was kind of a bad experience.
So, you know, on that note, I actually, when we were on vacation this year, it's always a race for the carts at every hotel. Right. And so I noticed that, the place we stayed this past summer, they had these bars at the top of the cart. And I thought, oh, what a great place to hang the bag, right? What a great idea. Okay. And so that's what I did, but no, contraire mon frère, it's to keep you from bringing it into the room because it's too high for the door frame.
Right.
So, so I think that that's a, you know, to me, that's management role to kind of look for problems like that and solve those problems. That's more of a passive type of customer service, bad customer experience than an active one. Right. And one I hadn't really thought about. We should be looking for those bad experiences that may come from an inaction or not paying attention to the needs of your customers. I like that. Yeah.
I mean, we try every time we have like our help desk issues that need to be moved up and therefore take longer to solve. We always try and evaluate if there's a way that we could make it so that next time that didn't have to happen. Right. So our goal is to try and fix a problem as quickly as possible. And if we can get first point of contact, get it taken care of, that's a better situation. So if it's because we didn't have a proper documentation or we didn't have a process or we didn't have something about that particular system to fix it quicker, then we put that in place so that next time it's able to happen faster.
I think I really believe that none of this stuff stops ever. Right. I mean, it's all perpetually and hopefully improving for your business. So what your customer service touch points, if you will, or experiences are right now should be analyzed all the time. We have a process in our business for how do we serve the customer and should we share that with the customer? Here's our process. Well, we recently implemented a scheduling system for our customers. And we didn't exactly tell our customers that we were doing it. We tried to slide it out there. And then they caught on to it and saw, you know, hey, this new thing. And they kind of came back to us. And then on top of that, they said, we like it, but, and so listening to your customers, you know, we've got to perpetually evaluate and ask too, I think.
So listening with both your ears?
You think so, maybe? I think sometimes what we do is say, oh, they'll like it better if we do this. Maybe we need to ask that question. Mm-hmm. One of our secret sauces in our customer service, and we like to try here, and it goes like with what you said, David Luft. We like to listen. And how do you listen? Well, we have regular cadences where we talk to our customers. Okay. And those cadences for us come through a biweekly call or a monthly call or a quarterly call. And we do this with a lot of customers. And yes, it does take a lot of time and effort, but it is I will credit it probably maybe the number one thing that keeps our customers coming back because we are constantly talking and listening to them. Right. Now, some businesses may say, oh, we can't do that with our customers. You know, we're a dog grooming, you know, or a dentist or whatever. And I would argue you can, is what I would say. And the minute you say we can't, guess what? You're not going to. You know, you've already kind of dispositioned it as we're not able to, and we're not going to do that because we're not able to. My recommendation is figure out how to, right? My dentist is now text messaging us, you know, hey, we did that service. How's your teeth? You know, our veterinarian, we fixed your dog yesterday. How's he doing? You know, did you give him the meds? And it's legitimate, not just automated, but legitimate human interaction text messages. I love that. What do you guys have? Some special sauce you want to share? Some secret sauce.
Personally, for me, just with all the texting and emails, I'm surprised when I pick up the phone and call people how happy they are just to actually talk to somebody, because it can get overwhelming. And I get it's easy to communicate with people texting when they're hard to get a hold of. And it's not a bad thing.
No.
But I think when you have a more of a relationship with a customer to talk to the CEOs and such, it's a phone call is great.
Do you guys text with a lot of your owners and points of contacts? You don't?
We actually just added texting to our phone system so that we could use it for a way for customers to, you know, communicate tickets and that kind of thing. So we can now text out as well.
Yeah. As a business, we have opened up for the longest time. We've had it open, actually, texting with like our points of contacts and our VIPs. We won't do that with everyday staff. If there's an emergency, it should go to those people after hours or something like that. But look, you know, we have multiple channels to communicate to us, and it's essential, I think, to give people multiple channels of communication. But that safety blanket and that binky is really important to a CEO or a VIP, that they just know, hey, I could just text this person. Plus, it's personal.
Well, no, I agree with. I don't disagree with that. I agree that it is, but I also think really you have to communicate with the person in the method that they appreciate, because everybody has different methods. I remember I was at a conference one time, and the MSP's like, I don't want people calling us. We want to get all our tickets from email. And I'm just like, what if you just allowed, just like you said, Jim, what if you allowed them to either text you, email you, or call you? And you responded, well, no matter how they did it, as long as it was going to all your techs and not one tech particular.
That's exactly how we do it.
That's what we do too.
I think it's Nito Cobain, and you all know Nito Cobain. We know of him from a number of events that we've attended. And he is the president in charge of
High Point University.
And so he asked every year at the end of the year, they have problems in their quadrangle, you know, the student union area outside. They have nice sidewalks set up and they cross the sidewalks, right? So the sidewalk around the perimeter, nice big rectangle. And then, of course, corner to corner. I'm sorry, not corner to corner, but, you know, crosses on the sidewalks. And so, but every year there at the end of the year, there are paths, you know, carved into the grass. Right. And Nito asked us, you know, the person that's in charge of landscaping, why does this happen every year? Right. You know, why is it that this gets destroyed? And, you know, and the guy goes, because the students won't follow the path that they're supposed to follow. And Nito pitched this, and I'm butchering the story, pitched it to the landscaper, the groundskeeper, said, well, that means we're not listening to our students then. You know, if they're telling us they want to go crossways, okay, then we need to put concrete in, you know, so that it makes their life easier. They're our customers. And so that goes with what you're saying, David Luft, is like, you know, if that's what they want, we either have to say, no, you're not going to get that, or we're going to have to acquiesce and say, you know what? You're right. You're my customer. I want to make your life easier. By the way, saved them a bunch of money by putting in concrete, not having to fix that grass every year. So it turns out that it was a benefit financially at the same time. Great customer service experience there. So guys, I don't want to belabor this topic. I think it was meant to be kind of a short topic today. Do you guys have anything to add? Do you think we effectively rebooted on customer service and gave people some ideas on how they can improve it so they don't lose customers?
I think we at least gave them some stuff to think about.
Yeah. I put the link for Fred Factor in the chat. Okay. Well, not a link yet. I'll go to Amazon and find the book and put a link in it also. Plus, David Luft, I loved your quote. And I put it there, 2 years, one mouth, listen twice as much as we talk. I'm going to start using that all the time.
That was from somebody else. That wasn't something I made up.
But. Well, you know what? We're giving you credit for it today. So, well, listen, we thank you so much for joining us this week on the reboot. Next week, we are going to be talking about technology and cybersecurity, zero trust, what that is, what the benefit of it is, and how you can get started with it. I'll put a link to the show in this chat as well as maybe get a little information so that you can read up on it in advance if you want to attend. I'd like to add these guys probably are pretty excited like me. We are now on a bajillion podcast platforms. So if you didn't catch the show live, you can catch it on your favorite podcast platform. It's great, you know.
Yeah. Or
Amazon. You could actually go to Alexa and say, "Hey Alexa, play the reboot." By the way, be careful. There's another reboot podcast out there, but they're called the Reboot Podcast. We're called the Reboot. And in addition to that, Google, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, which is a big one, soon we'll be on Pandora, I hope. Please, Pandora. Don't be impressed. Guys, thanks a lot. I appreciate you joining us. David and David.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Take care, everyone.
Talk to you soon.